eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. You already know what it is. It's another episode of Gold Mines. You know what we do here. Oh, my God. Get inside the minds of amazing people. Today will be no different. This amazing individual does so much history attached to the name. Goddamn. Writer, director, creative. I mean, entrepreneur. I mean, a man that basically embodies the idea of relationships and has done it for so long. I got the pleasure of saying I'm now working with him. I'm excited about working with him. A legend. And I do mean that when I say it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Craig Brewer to Gold Mines. What up, Craig?
I gotta say, I was pretty impressed. I was like, who's Kevin interviewing right now?
How do I do it? How do I do it, man? Question that I think that I have for you, the biggest one is, you know, for the creative mind attached to writing, right? There's always something that sparked it. There's always a reason for it. For you, what is it that basically sparks your interest to go in this direction with your career, right? Like why entertainment? Why the creative bug of storytelling and movie making? What is it about it that attracted you to it and why the choice?
You know, I guess if I were, you know, I've been thinking now that I'm older and I now got kids, you know, teenagers and young adults. And I've been looking back on my life a lot and saying, like, how did this all happen? And I do have to say, I think it was this need to connect with my dad. You know, I come from a family that had a lot of sports. You know, my granddaddy was like this famous ball player that later became like a personality on TV. His name was Marvelous Marvin Throneberry. He played for the New York Yankees and then the Mets. But then he was in these light beer commercials. I don't know if you remember these. They were back in the day where there was a light beer gang and they would argue, tastes great, less filling, tastes great.
Yes, I remember.
And so, my granddaddy would be at the end of those, just at the end of each commercial going, I still don't know why they asked me to do this commercial. And it became like this big thing. So sports was always something that was kind of encouraged for me. But I was just kind of like a chubby, nerdy kid that liked to watch TV. And so I got involved in like local children's theater, you know, doing plays. But really like in the 80s, and I try to explain this to my kids, like, there was like this film festival in my house every weekend, because you'd go out to the video store, and this is like pre-Blockbuster, you know, where you just go to like some TV repair shop and they were renting movies. And so your dad or your mom, like they now got to experience these movies that they love, but now I'm watching them too. And that's where, like, first time I saw the Blues Brothers. It was like the first time I really saw James Brown perform. It's the first time I saw Aretha Franklin and John Lee Hooker. And so the more I started watching movies and loving entertainment, it was something that my dad and I would do. I remember one time, this was a big deal to me, is that we watched Whoopi Goldberg's like one woman show that had come out on VHS. It was on HBO special where she did, you know, all the characters, you know, and I just remember it blowing my mind. It's
probably one of the best. I compare Whoopi Goldberg and John Leguizamo's John Leguizamo. Yeah. You know, you talk about the One Woman Show. Of course, there's so many more, but the ones that stood out to me, I specifically remember how amazing Whoopi Goldberg's One Woman Show was, and just what it was as a performer. And of course, she was a comic as well. But just for her to tap into that. To that space of artistry, I like looking at it now. You really understand how like dynamic and unbelievable it was in that era.
And even I just watched it recently with John Singleton's child, Justice, mm-hmm. and you know, I hadn't seen it, and just to watch it to see like, yeah, there was comedy, but like she completely created like five unique characters, and then like Breakfast Club comes out. And you're watching this show, this movie that is basically just people talking and having conflict. And people at my school, I was in junior high, they started like quoting monologues from this movie, you know, and then like it was 1984 was this huge year, like Footloose came out, but then Purple Rain came out. And that movie like really changed me. That was when I started going like, oh, you can have music tell the story with the narrative and it can be in the stylistic way, but still like the experience that I had in that theater watching Purple Rain with this real diverse crowd and just leaping out of our seats.
You were in the theater. You went to the theater.
That's... Oh yeah. Yeah. The Cine 3 theater in Vallejo, California, Northern California. I'll never forget that experience. And then it started like triggering me into like technical stuff. Like I would get like a boom box and I would realize that there were inputs on the back of it. But then I'd look at the back of my VCR. I saw that there were outputs on the back of that. And I was like, well, wait a minute. If I got like a VHS of Purple Rain, that means I could record it to this boom box. And then like, you got to go to Radio Shack. And so more and more, like it started like bringing about this technical part of me just wanting to experience this movie, you know, just so I could pop Purple Rain, the whole movie, the audio of the movie in like my Walkman while I'm walking to school. And so it just kind of like was this constant flow of consuming movies, consuming television, and then one day just starting to write it, you know?
Well, you're embedded in it. Right. I mean, at this point, like clearly this is your atmosphere. This is your environment. So naturally you're taking your love to the environment. What I would say like now knowing, okay, wow, I have an interest. Oh shit. This is what I love. Okay. This is what I want to do. The figuring out the best way or the best road into it. That's normally the toughest part. So what was the idea attached to my end? Like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. I don't know where to necessarily go or who to talk to get or to do, but fuck it. This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
This is my way in. What was that space of thought for you?
Well, what it was, and it's interesting because it again ties back to my dad, and my dad wasn't really like, you know, he was in shipping, you know, but he loved theater. He loved movies. And so I had moved back into the house that he was raised inside of Memphis, Tennessee. I just started my young life, you know, and I really wanted to make movies. I was reading every book, you know. I don't know if you remember in the 90s, it seems like there was this explosion of independent cinema, and everybody was like putting like, you know, they were putting all their budget on their credit cards and maxing out, getting into debt and trying to make stuff. So I was trying to make movies the way everybody was telling me to make them on film. And it was just a big disaster. I lost all my money. I couldn't afford to like develop the film.
What do you, when you say all, give me a figure attached to that?
Well, I mean like time. 30, like about, that's like I'd spent about 30 grand in credit cards and trying to number. Do it. And yeah, when you're like, you know, working at Barnes and Noble, making 12 grand a year, you know, it was insurmountable. And I remember like I fell into this big depression and I called up my dad, and he had read this movie that I wrote called Poor and Hungry. And it was about car thieves in Memphis, this love story that kind of took place in like the kind of the, you know, crime world of Memphis, but still it was a love story. And he said, hey, you know what? And this was like 1998. He was like, you really need to figure out a way to get back to like those essentials you had when you were young and working in theater, in a black box theater where you didn't need a set. You just needed like good actors. And he said, get one of these video cameras, get one of these new computers where you can basically edit the whole movie together. I remember he said it's like word processing, but with images and sound. You can move images, and he saw it at some expo. And he kind of inspired me. And I was like, oh, but this last thing that I did, I lost money. He's like, you're going to be losing money your whole life. There's going to be times you're going to make money, you're going to lose money, but like, just be smart with this. So I went to Barnes & Noble. I had like a 35% discount. I got all these books. And I came back home that day, and my dad had died very unexpectedly of a heart attack. That day, like the last thing he was saying was just get out there and do it. So I got 20 grand of inheritance for my mom, and I thought, well, I could pay down the 30, but she said, you know, your dad was talking to you about this movie. Just why don't you go out and make it? So I think that going out every day to try to make this movie, and I was living in like a little teeny house with my wife and her brother and sister, and we were making this movie like it was our last. And that movie, ultimately, if you look at Hustle and Flow, Hustle and Flow, if you just replace movie with rap, is us making that movie. Mm-hmm. And that's the movie that John Singleton saw and Stephanie Elaine saw, The Poor and Hungry. Jeez. And they were like, well, what else you got? And I go, well, I wrote a sequel to it, or not a sequel, but it takes place in the same world, called Hustle and Flow. And so this black and white movie that I still feel is like my best. It's fun because my dad is listed as a producer on it, and yet he never saw it. You know, and he's never seen any of my movies because he passed away. But it was a crucial part of my way in by way of Memphis, Tennessee, which is it's wild because I grew up in California for a lot of my life. But really, it was kind of going back to Memphis and falling in love just with the world out there. And then just trying to make something that I wasn't trying to necessarily sell. I just wanted it to be as good as it could possibly be. And that's what John saw. And John was kind of like my new, not necessarily a father figure, but he was like this big brother that I needed at this time in my life.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart. You can catch the rest of this episode exclusively on the SiriusXM app. We'll see you next week for a full episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud Radio production and executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam. Engineered by Danny Sellers.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Like a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.